This morning we want to turn into a very familiar verse of Scripture, which is John 3:16. Many of you, if not all, have heard that verse, and most, if not all, can quote that verse. But I want to spend a little time this morning. We know that this is the last Sunday before Christmas, and so we have been kind of on the Christmas theme over the last several services, and we want to continue that theme, but we also want to just bring out a few other things that I hope can help us this morning. And I'm going to move this microphone before I knock it off, unless y'all want me to sing a solo too, but anyway, let's read John 3:16, and we've titled this message, The Greatest Gift. The Greatest Gift. The Bible says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank You for our time together. We thank You for each one that's here. Lord, You know the hearts of every person. You know the burdens, You know the troubles, You know the trials, You know the difficulties. You know the heart. And Lord, for those that are watching, You know the same. So Father, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, will You give us what each person needs? And Lord, as we celebrate Christmas in just a few days, may it be a celebration that we can look back on and say, it was good. Father, I pray that You'll help me this morning. You know my heart as well. So, Father, as You know best and as You can do, Lord, I pray that You'll just intervene. And, Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living a time period, and I guess in a sense it's always been this way, but we are living in a time period where people desire better. When we have our Christmas gatherings, we want it to be better. When we have Christmas gifts, or when we give Christmas gifts, we want them to be better. And I guess in a sense, where it comes to humanity and when it comes to life itself, there has been a lot of better things. There's a lot of better technology. A lot of things has been accomplished through technology. There are a lot of concerns with technology. I believe that they make cell phones to last a certain period of time. So you will get the better and better items. I'll be honest with you. There are times that, I don't know if they do you or not, but there are times that, cell phone and the technologies of cell phones kind of make you nervous. Because if you, are riding down the road and you say to someone that you're riding with, well, that's a pretty car. When you open up your cell phone, there'll be an ad for that car. Y'all have experienced something like that? I don't know how they do it, but they do it. Makes you wonder what they're watching or what they're learning about us. But when it comes to making things better, we know that technology is better in a lot of ways. When we have home gatherings, when we have gatherings and Christmas gatherings, if you're able to have those, then you want to make it better. You try to plan, you try to put a lot of efforts in your gathering and in the events, and you try to make it better. When it comes to giving Christmas gifts, you know, you try to make it better when in reality, in most cases, if I've learned, maybe my dad used to talk about, and maybe some of you can remember this, but my dad used to talk about, you know, his grandparents and his parents, times were pretty rough, to where they would, you know, they would be happy with a piece of hard candy. And I just remember him talking about that. And things have progressed a lot. And in reality, in most cases, I know sometimes financial situations hinder, but in most cases, if someone wants something, then they're probably going to go buy it for themselves, and it's hard to give it to them. But I guess what I'm trying to say is our desire is always making things better. But this morning, we can't make anything any better when it comes to the greatest gift. And that is the gift of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He gave in this verse. He gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. This gift speaks of love. This gift speaks of compassion. This gift speaks of mercy. This gift speaks of grace. This gift speaks of long-suffering. This gift speaks of patience. This gift speaks of sacrifice. And this gift has the offering of eternal life. You can't make that any better. You can't add, you can't take away, you can't expound. But with every gift that is given, it must be received. For every gift that is given, it must be received. The gift is there. There's nothing else that needs to be done by the giver because the giver has done it all. Embarrassingly enough, and I guess we can say this because at this point we don't remember now who it was, but we were going through several years ago, we were going through some anniversary cards that Darla and I had, and it's been a number of years now, but we were going through one of our anniversaries. You know, you kind of go back memory lane and those type of things, and we were going through some cards that people had given. And we opened one up, and there was a $20 bill. And so I thought, wow, they're still giving after so many years later. And then, of course, I don't remember now who it was, but somebody had given. So the gift was given, but we never took it. We were given the gift. And that gift remained in the card until we received it. Well, the finished work of the Lord and the finished work of Jesus Christ, the giver has already been given or has already given the gift. But now it's up to people and it's up to individuals whether they want to receive that gift because there's nothing else that needs to be done. The receiver must take it. The receiver must open it, and the receiver must take it to the point that he or she believes it. That's where the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him believing is receiving. Believing is receiving. So this morning I would like to consider a passage of scripture found in John chapter 4. If you turn over just a page, and we're not going to read the whole passage of scripture, but verse 10 of John chapter 4 says this. Jesus answered and said unto her, meaning the woman at the well, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This morning I would like to consider the greatest gift. The greatest gift. Jesus told this woman at the well, Jesus told her, that if she had only known the gift of God, if she would have only known the gift of God, you see, at the time she didn't understand. At the time she didn't know who she was talking to. At the time it was almost like she was blinded. She was blinded to who he was. She was blinded to what he was offering. She was blinded to her own life. She was blinded with the things of the life or of her life. She was blinded. And that's much like the world today. The world is blinded in so many ways, and they have the same problem, and they're blinded of the truth and who Jesus is. And the gift that is being offered to all. You see, that gift isn't for a certain individual. That gift isn't for a certain kind. That gift isn't for a certain, nationality, but that gift is for whosoever. Jesus told the woman, "If thou knowest the gift of God." What are some of the gifts that the Lord offers us this morning? And we know we've done mentioned one. One is eternal life. And we'll get to that in just a few moments. But there's some other things that the Lord offers. And we'll take the Bible this morning just for a few minutes and we'll share those with you. But the first is, to the weary, He gives rest. To the weary, He gives rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me," the words of Christ, "come unto me and all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It doesn't say, "I hope to give you rest," "I want to give you rest," but it says, "I will give you rest." But you must receive. You must come unto me, the Bible says, meaning to Jesus. "And all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It goes on to say, "Is take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Let's look at life's problems for just a minute. Life's problems comes in many shapes and sizes. Life's problems are not limited to, but life's problems are for everyone. Every one of us have life problems. Every one of us have life difficulties. Every one of us has life challenges. Every one of us has something just a little different. And we call them the pressures of life. We call them life itself. The problems in life. But if the world and we would understand totally what Jesus could do, our wearies would become rest. You see, it doesn't mean our problems are going to go away. It doesn't mean that sometimes we have to live life and we have to live through these problems, but we can find rest in these problems. We can find rest dealing with these problems. We can find rest with the situations, and we can find rest because weary, with the weary, there's no rest. And many of you know what I'm talking about. Many of you understand when we're weary about something or we're troubled about something, we find very little rest. But Jesus offers that rest, but we must come unto Him. There's a passage in the Bible in Mark chapter 9 that there was someone that was very weary with the condition of where they were. The condition of where they were in their life, they were very weary. And in verse 14 of Mark chapter 9, the Bible says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they healed him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?'" So that was Jesus saying, what are you questioning about my disciples? What is the problem, in other words, the Bible saying? "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whensoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they shouldest cast him out, and they could not." In other words, the disciples couldn't do what they wanted them to do for this young person. "And he answered and said," or saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you, being him unto me, or bring him unto me? And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teareth him, and fell on the ground, and wallowed foaming, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire. So we see the troubled spirit. You see that there was no rest for this weary. There was no rest for the one that was enduring, but there was also no rest for the one that was watching, the parent. There was no rest. Goes on to say, into the waters and destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, they're asking help, help, have compassion, help. And in verse 23, Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's receiving. Believeth is receiving. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Jesus saw that the people come running together and rebuke the foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And he was healed. To the weary, he gives rest. There were several that were weary. The father was weary. The child or the person that was dealing with this problem was weary. Those who were watching were weary. The disciples were weary because they could not cast, and you could take time out to read that passage. Those that were looking on was weary. But what was the center focus that would help with the weariness? Jesus. That's the centerized focus. He's the one that will give rest. You see, lives are broken by sin. Lives are broken by circumstances. Lives are broken because of where they are in life. People are weary, but Jesus can give rest. You see, I believe that rest is a gift. I believe that rest is a gift that only Jesus can give. You see, sometimes when we say, well, I'm going to change my mind about something, or I'm going to hope that things become better, but yet things don't get any better. But when we give everything to Jesus, then he will truly give rest. No matter what it is that you're dealing with this morning, he can find, or he can give you, and you can find rest. Another gift that he can give to the guilty, he giveth righteousness. He gives righteousness. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. The Bible says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after the righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. You see, the world is guilty of every sin that's probably imaginable. But yet God, in His love, in His kindness, in His grace, in His mercy, giveth righteousness when we receive Him. How? In the person of Jesus Christ. Now, we won't take time this morning, but we look back at Saul in Acts chapter 9. We look back at Saul and we see Saul's life, and he persecuted the church, and he was acting religious, and he was doing all these things. He held the coat when Stephen was being stoned, and all these things that was taking place. But on that Damascus road, Jesus changed his life. The giver of righteousness. Yeah, there were some that doubted. There was some that doubted whether what Paul received was real. There was some that doubted his circumstances. There was some that wondered, how can this be? And we would say this morning, because of Jesus. You see, the whole focus this morning is Jesus. We can give example after example after example of what God can do in a person's life. And I ask this morning, what about yours? What gift do you need to receive this morning? What gift can he help you with? What is it that you desire in your life? Is it peace? Is it righteousness? What about the Holy Spirit working in our life? Do we desire the Holy Spirit to work in our life? We think about to be obedient. If we're obedient, we can have that gift of the Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 32, the Bible says, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." You see, God never promised a perfect life. God never promised a perfect situation. But God did promise the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the one that works in our life. He promised something greater, the blessed and blessed Holy Spirit in our life. Another one that he gives this morning, and that is this: to the troubled, he gives peace. To the troubled, he gives peace. You know, I think of when you go around and look at Christmas lights and you see things shown in people's yards, you'll see the word joy, and a lot of times you'll see the word peace, and you see things like this, but yet you look out into the world and you don't see a lot of peace. You see a lot of turmoil. You see a lot of anxiety. You see a lot of difficulties. You see a lot of problems. And some people would say, well, how can this be peace? How can we have peace in a world in the condition the way they are, the conditions? How can we receive that peace? How can we find that help? Well, I say again, look at Jesus. If we look at the things in the world, and if we look at all the things that's happening around us, there's going to be a lot of turmoil. But when we look to Jesus, that's where we find peace. John chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." I was just talking about the world. And I was just talking about the things of the world. If we're looking to the world to find peace, we'll never find peace. But the Bible goes on to say, "I give unto you not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, true peace comes from Jesus. God can give you peace in any situation in your life if you look to him. Sometimes I think there's a misconception that when we pray that all of a sudden our problems will be over. And we pray for that. We pray that things will get better. We pray that things will be overcome, and yes, he can, and yes, he will if he desires and if he wills. But the most important thing is that we pray for peace in the midst of these things. That we pray for peace in the midst of these things, because all have a desire for them to go away, but God may have a different plan. And I think of none other than Paul. Paul, there's some scholars that believe that Paul's thorn in his side that he talked about, the thorn that he prayed for, he prayed three times. And there's some scholars that believe that it might have been his eyesight and different things like that. And I believe that, we can have an idea of what it might be, but we don't really know. And if God wanted us to know, he would have told us this is Paul's thorn. And I believe that it helps us to not know what the thorn is, because we all have our own thorns. We all have our own problems. We all have our own situations. We all have our own things that we've prayed for. And he prayed three times that this thorn would be removed. Well, the thorn didn't get removed, but he got extra grace to get through it. You see, that's where the peace comes. The peace comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. when we get away from God, when we get away from the Lord, then yes, there's going to be a lot of turmoil. When we live in turmoil, then yes, there's going to be turmoil. When we let things get in the way, yes, there's going to be turmoil. But we must look to Jesus, the one that gives the greatest gift, the gift of peace, the gift of peace. And then lastly this morning, to the lost, He giveth salvation. To the lost, He giveth salvation. Our desire this morning is that everyone that's in this building, everyone that's in the airways, will have that saving knowledge of the Lord. Our desire this morning is people will come to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Our desire this morning is that no one would leave this place not knowing Jesus, because I was actually thinking this morning that this could be the last service that some of us might be in. This could be the last song, the songs that we heard. This could be the last song that we hear. We plan, we have ideas, we have these things that we have to go to and all those, but you know, there's no guarantee of life. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. There's no guarantee of us taking the next breath. So our desire this morning is that if someone doesn't know Christ, and if there's any doubt, you know, there's been times that I've talked to individuals and they say, I hope I'm saved, or I hope I'm, you know, but I know this morning that we can know. You can know this morning that you're on the way to heaven. But Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. To the lost, He gives great salvation. As we celebrate Christmas, we have to think that all the way from glory came the blessed Jesus Christ to be born in a manger that was just sung about, to be born in a manger that we might have hope, that we might have peace, that we might have comfort, that we might have forgiveness, all because He knew what needed to be done. He knew what needed to be done. He knew the only hope that man would have today is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of what any other religion might teach, regardless of what any thoughts they were, just on this Sunday before Christmas, and there's a lot of churches that are meeting this morning, and there's a lot of messages that are going out. Well, our message this morning is that Jesus saves. Amen. Our message this morning is that Jesus makes a difference. Our message this morning is that the shed blood of Jesus Christ must be applied. Our message this morning is that you can find that peace that passes all understanding. You know, you live life long enough and you're going to see a lot of problems. But I can promise you this morning that no matter what problem you face, as long as you have the peace of Jesus Christ in your heart, you can get through it. He wants to make a change in your life. He wants to make a change in my life. Nothing will ever change you like Jesus. Nothing can ever change you like Jesus. So as we celebrate Christmas, and as we think of that special verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just remember this morning that the giver has already given. The giver has already given. Now it's up to you. If you want any of these things that we mentioned this morning, you must receive. You must be that recipient. Just like as you open up presents, maybe you've already opened up a few, maybe you're going to open up a few, no matter what it may be. Just remember, when you're opening up that gift, you have to receive that gift and you have to open it up. Don't be like the example that I shared for an anniversary card or a wedding card. Don't be like us that gets the card and we don't open it. Because not opening the gift, it could be too late. You must receive the gift. No matter what your heart feels this morning, no matter what troubles you're going through, you can find peace if you look to Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for that beloved verse, "For God so loved the world." We thank you for that gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to believe as receiving. And Father, I pray this morning that if someone doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you speak to that heart? I pray this morning that if there's some that are troubled and weary about whatever it is in their life, that they can find that peace, that they can find that help that they need. As we have this invitation, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts and help us, Lord, to be that recipient of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And we just simply say this morning, we need you, Lord. We need you. Bless this invitation. Bless each person. Bless those that are watching. And will you have your will and way? For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?